They believe that they can be born of the Spirit of God and yet still live no differently than the people who Jesus calls the children of the devil and who Paul calls the sons of disobedience. To put it plainly, the people who believe in this doctrine believe you can be a born-again Christian and practice homosexuality. You can be a born-again Christian and be someone who molests children.
Two.
You can be a born-again Christian and be someone who drinks to get drunk.
Three.
You can be a born-again Christian and watch pornography.
Four.
You can be a born-again Christian and be stealing from your job.
Five.
You can be a born-again Christian and renounce the faith and live
Six.
And die as an atheist who blasphemes God.
Seven. Eight.
And still inherit the kingdom of God. And on top of all of that, all these people still have the Holy Spirit living within them the entire time.
As a pastor who believes what the Bible says to be true, I would tell any Christian, do not sin. Go and sin no more. Sin brings bondage. Sin put Jesus on the cross. I will not deny the fact that the believer has the free will to do whatever he wants, which can be to sin, but it's a shame if he chooses to do that. Hey there, and welcome back to Bibleline. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and we do a lot of content here at Bibleline. The reason why I say that is because there may be some of you who are here who are sympathetic. You follow the guy that we're going to react to today. As the title says, his name is Young Don. His channel is Young Don Reborn. And I have been sent two videos from this content creator. And very alarming, very concerning. But I want to say to those who might be new to the channel, you know, I'm not just a reaction channel here. My ministry, Bibleline, is under Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida. I'm a pastor. I counsel with people. I preach three times a week. I'm also a professor. I teach at Florida Bible College of Tampa. I'm a husband. I've been married for going on 13 years. I'm a father of an adopted daughter, and she's just turned 15 months old. I'm a man, and I know what the Bible says. And my desire is for people to come to the knowledge that salvation is attained by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that it is put to their account by faith in Jesus as the Son of God. That's my purpose. We're not trying to make money off of Bibleline. Yeah, we run ads on this channel, but that's because they get run anyway. And so we do this to be able to pay for what our video editor does. And we also try to just reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not interested in starting a Patreon account. I'm not interested in asking people to subscribe to some hidden knowledge or whatever it may be. I want this to be bold out there and open. Now, those of you who are subscribed to our channel, you already know that. You know all of that. But there are some of you who might be new, especially those who may come across and say, oh, this is the guy who's attacking my guy, Young Don. You know, my intent is not to bury this man. I want him to come to a change of mind and move away from this works plus faith-based gospel message. And you might say, hey, he just revealed his bias right there. Bingo, buddy. Absolutely correct. I believe what the Bible says is true. I'm willing and open to changing my mind if the scripture finds me in error, and that has not happened. And the confidence that I have, the boldness that I have is not pride. It is all in the scripture. I rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand I'm not a grifter. I'm not somebody out here to try to swindle you into my way of thinking and then get you to pay me money and support me. The Lord has met all of my needs. YouTube is not the only thing that I do. I'm a Bible teacher and a pastor as well. So my intention is for you to look at what has been said by Young Don in these couple of videos, and then also look at what the scripture says and make a decision. Who is correct, the infallible word of God or man's interpretation? So let's go ahead and get started. This first video we're going to look at is called The Free Grace Doctrine is False, Dangerous, and Wicked. Thanks to the person who sent this to us. Let's get into it.
The free grace doctrine is a false, dangerous, and wicked lie from Satan.
All right, so 4 seconds in, we have our thesis, which is the title of the video, makes sense. But from this point forward, in the next 14 minutes of his video, he's going to do his best to explain why the doctrinal position of free grace is deception from the devil.
was the first real theological system that I came in contact with when I became a Christian. Some people who think they know my story believe that when I first became a Christian, I was a Calvinist that then...
So I'm going to pause there for a second, and if you were to go to the description of that video, The Free Grace Doctrine is False, Dangerous, and Wicked, in the description there is a link to his Patreon account. On the Patreon account, under the About section, you can kind of read his gospel invitation. It doesn't sound like a personal testimony. It kind of sounds like this is what you do to know you have eternal life. I'm going to quote this for you. We'll make sure to get it on the screen for you too. Jesus' last words before he died were, "It is finished." Now I'm going all the way to the bottom here because it's kind of like the back of the tract, the gospel tract. You look at it and say, "What must I do to be saved?" This is what he's saying. Jesus' last words before he died were, "It is finished," satisfying the Father's wrath and giving us an opportunity to be forgiven for our crimes against God. All it requires is for us to, now we're going to focus in on this, all it requires. It requires means in order for you to be forgiven judicially by God, you must do these things. All it requires is for us to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and to commit to following the laws of God and sincerely trying our best, our absolute best, to not commit sin anymore. He goes on to say, "Once I came to grips with reality, I professed Jesus as God and committed to no longer sinning against him. I turned away from making content that offends God and instead tried to make content that glorifies him and help others to learn about him and what he wants from us." So on a surface level here, what he's saying is, my salvation is secure in the fact that I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I have committed to following the laws of God. I sincerely try my best to not commit sin anymore. I've turned away from making content that offends God, and I make content that glorifies him. So those are five things that he's hanging his salvation on. It is not my job to interpret whether young Don is saved or not. But if I test him as a teacher of God's word, if I test him by his fruit, which is his words, then it condemns what the Bible says, which is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There are five additional things that he's adding here to know that he's saved. And you kind of see this throughout the rest of his video that we're going to watch here. Now, he's going to go into Calvinism a little bit. So let's take a look. And the reason why I show you that is because this is what he's got publicly up. You know, this is his conversion story. So let's take a look here.
Came a free gracer who then started keeping the law of Moses and has now become a Calvinist again. This is inaccurate. When I first became a Christian, it is true that I was exposed to the teachings of Reformed doctrine, aka Calvinism, but I didn't know that that was what I was slowly being taught. By the time it was explained to me by older Christians that I was being influenced by Calvinist teachers, I was just as quickly dissuaded from Reformed doctrine by those same older Christians who, at the time, I thought knew what they were talking about. So before I could truly evaluate Reformed doctrine for myself, people created a Calvinistic straw man and then lit it on fire. So I wouldn't consider myself a Calvinist when I became a Christian because I didn't understand it, nor did I ever have anyone explain the theology to me properly.
I'm going to pause here for a moment, and this is actually where we're getting into the first part of my reaction to this. The person that sent this to me said, you know, it seems pretty convincing the arguments that he makes that a changed life is evidence of true conversion. He says here that he's not properly a Calvinist, but he goes on to say later on in the video that salvation is of the Lord and we're saved by God's intervention, so to speak. And that it's really nothing of you. That is Calvinism. That is called unconditional election. It is the U in their acronym TULIP. And it states that the election of God to choose a person to eternal life or choose a person to eternal separation from him in hell is all of his own volition, God's own volition. Man cannot respond. He is so spiritually dead, he cannot even make a decision to believe on Jesus Christ. God has to choose them and then bring about that salvation process through his own desires.
The first true system of theology that I was properly taught and thoroughly understood was what is known as the free grace doctrine.
Now, he's going to go on to explain what I think is probably some of the clearest language of what the Bible says brings about eternal life. And this is what he says he first came under the understanding of when he got saved. It's interesting to me because then I look at his Patreon and I see that statement about he did those five things. But then in this video, he says, this is what I understood. So that's why I say I'm not here to pass judgment if the man's saved or not. I'm trying to see, is the doctrine that he teaches, is it lining up with the word of God? That's the standard, folks. What does God say? Hold man accountable to it. And the person who sent this to me, obviously they were very concerned that, am I not saved now? That's why we're reacting to it, because I think stuff like this it's dangerous. It's got 105,000 views. And you read the comments, and people are like, I'm trying my best. I'm really trying my best to stop sinning. And it's like, why don't you stop trying to do something that only comes about by faith in Christ and start walking in your new nature? But that doctrine's not even taught. It's totally dismissed. And you'll see that.
It is also known as hyper grace and easy believism. In a nutshell, this doctrine says that anyone who comes to believe as true the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who is also God manifested as a human being, and then died on the cross as a sufficient payment for the sins of all of humanity, who after being dead for 3 days was resurrected by God, anyone who comes to accept this fact as true and then places their hope of escaping hell and being resurrected to eternal life in this sacrifice made by the Son of God instantly receives the Holy Spirit, whom they can never lose, and is born again, securing their eternal life after death. That's the free grace doctrine. And though it has some elements of truth to it, as I continue to study the Bible and learn more about church history.
That's what I want you to focus on. He said that in it, on the face value, is true. But as I started to study the Bible and learn more about church history, this, I'm not saying this is a flag for everything, but you can see when the church history flag starts coming up, Calvinism is present, because what the scripture clearly says, church history thinks, well, we got to expound upon that. We got to clarify that, because it's not real clear. They think we need to do more. And you can see now he's coming from the position of, I used to believe this, but as I studied more Bible and church history, now he's on something else. That's dangerous. It's very dangerous. 1 Corinthians is really clear. I'm not going to go into it in this video, but you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And chapter 2, and see what God says about the wisdom of man compared to his wisdom. And church history, a lot of it, you go back and see what church history was saying is true, and it's against the Bible. Plain and simple.
I became 100% certain that this is a false doctrine, which will unfortunately send the grand majority of people who believe in it to hell.
All right, so this is where I was watching this the first time, and I was like, that is crazy. Basically, the doctrine, which is in 1 Corinthians 15, in Acts 13, 38, and 39, in Ephesians 1, 13, that talks about you simply believe, you're forgiven of all sin, all of that. That doctrine, that believe only, according to this man's statement, is false, and it will send a vast amount of people to hell. That's a major problem. Now, he's going to go on to address what he thinks free grace gets right, and then we'll take a look at that too. That was concerning to me, and it was concerning because it's basically saying that Jesus is not sufficient, that what he did on the cross was not enough. There's something else that he learned through more Bible study and church history that truly justifies a man.
Before I proceed to share the scriptures with you that I believe refute this free grace doctrine, I would first like to explain what this doctrine gets right, and then what it gets horribly wrong. Here's what it gets correct. Yes, the sacrifice that God's Son made on the cross is the only sufficient payment for the sins of any man, meaning on Judgment Day, the only reason anyone will be let into the kingdom of heaven is because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to the believer.
Now, I'm going to pause there, and we're going to read Romans 4, 1 through 5. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that belief in God, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This is saying that a man's works justify him to an extent before men. He has glory that men see his works and glorify the Father, but that works do not justify him before God. Romans 4:2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Young Don is going to go through from this 2:49 mark to about 5:09, and he's going to talk about exactly what this says, that you can't score high enough, that you can't do enough. But then he will backtrack that and say, true conversion is evidenced by good works. True conversion is evidenced by a denial of sin and the denial of practicing sin, and that you can't do anything habitually. But there's some rough patches you can go through, but hey, you'll get right with God because you're redeemed. It's dangerous doctrine, and it's something that needs to be exposed. Romans chapter 11 in verse 6 has a statement here, and if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. This is saying very clearly, salvation, the deliverance of your soul from the condemnation that is a result of your sin, it can either be of God's grace only, which we see offered in the person of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, or it's of works, meaning you as the man have to do something to earn that forgiveness. And salvation can't be a mixture of both. We can't have the gospel in the middle and front load works, saying you have to turn from sin and then believe in order to be saved. And we also can't say you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, but saving faith is not alone, and add works onto the back end and say if you're really saved, then you'll have works, and those works somehow justify your belief. That's involving grace and works. And Romans 11:6 says it's either or. So you got to make a choice. And if you're watching right now and you're under this teaching that Young Don is promoting, I got to ask you a question. What proves your deliverance? What are you trusting in to have a proper standing with God? If the answer is, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that his shed blood at Calvary paid for all my sin, but I'm also going to do good works to prove that I really believe that, you're taking grace and you're mixing it with works. Now, this is not me to make fun of you or people on our side of the aisle to say you're dumb and you're not understanding things and you're not worthy of understanding them. I'm trying to get you to recognize, who are you trusting in? Because if the statement is, I'm trusting in Jesus, and then I'm also trusting in my good works, you are violating Romans 11:6. Your deliverance is either all grace or it's all works. Can't be both. Now, I'm going to skip ahead to the 5:09 mark, because this is where, you know, that 2:49 to about 5 minutes is kind of repeating what we just said. You're welcome to go watch it for yourself, though.
People who believe in this doctrine believe that it is possible to have the Spirit of God take up residence within them without having an effect on who they are.
Stop, 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 stop. This is the age-old, if you're really saved, you won't live in sin. What does the Bible say about that? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And my Bible line peeps, you already know where this is going. But for those of you who might be new, you might not understand this line of thinking that's about to happen here. The scripture very clearly says that immediately following belief only, the Holy Spirit, to use Young Don's words, takes up residence in the believer. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, you in Ephesus, after that ye heard the word of truth. They heard the gospel, which was delivered to the apostles, delivered to Paul, the gospel of your salvation. So now we've now defined what truth is. It's the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after ye what? It says believe. That's it. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So belief automatically brings about sealing. Okay? That's taking up residence in the believer. which is the earnest of our inheritance until. So there is an expiration date of this sealing of the Holy Spirit, which is a sign of our inheritance, that inheritance being eternal life, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is that redemption? What is the redemption of the purchased possession? Well, for the believer, for the person who's experienced biblical repentance, they changed their mind from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ, that redemption is when you die, your body and soul, spirit are separated, you live with the Lord in conscious bliss there, and then at the rapture, you come back with the Lord first and get your new body. You're redeemed. That's when the seal of the Holy Spirit is gone. So let me ask you a question. What, according to Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, nullifies that sealing? Nothing, save when the Lord comes back and you get your new body. Young Don and other Calvinistic lordship doctrine teaches that you're not really saved if there's not a change. The Holy Spirit's not living inside a corrupt vessel. Really? Hang on a second. Bear with me for a moment. Pardon this brief interruption, but I just want to remind you to make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Hit the red subscribe button, set the notification bell to all so you get a notification every time that we post content. Leaving a comment and liking the video helps get it out to YouTube to more people. Maybe you have a question that you'd like to get answered. Email us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Let's get back to the video. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks all about our body as being a temple where the Holy Ghost resides. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now, this is interesting. The statement is made, you are a temple of the living God. Very clearly, that's who you are. Yet they're practicing in behavior that is contrary to their nature. This is because there's a duality inside the believer. There's the old man and there's the new man. We just did a series on mental health, and I think it's either the second or the third video. We'll link it in the description here, where we talk in depth about the old man and the new man. Young Don and people of his influence and people of his belief in doctrine teach that there's only one nature after you get saved, and it has to be sinless, but they also make room for some sin because they know that there is no perfect man. But the Bible teaches that you have an old nature and a new nature. These two are contrary one to the other. And the idea here in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 is you are the temple of a living God, so don't defile it with idolatry and sexual immorality and all that stuff. For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is an important part, because as a temple of the living God, we're waiting for the day when we're finally delivered, which is our salvation in the sense of we're delivered from the very presence of sin. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. We're in the process of being delivered from the power of sin, which is walking in our new nature, not in our old nature. And one day we're looking for the day when we have no sinful nature, when we have our brand new resurrected body. What he's going to say here is, if you still sin and there's no effect in your life, the Holy Spirit's not living in you, that's a sign that you're not saved, which would mean salvation is based upon your performance, not your faith in Jesus Christ. He is necessary, but he is not enough.
They believe that they can be born of the Spirit of God and yet still live no differently than the people who Jesus calls the children of the devil and who Paul calls the sons of disobedience. To put it plainly, the people who believe in this doctrine believe you can be a born-again Christian and practice homosexuality. You can be a born-again Christian and be someone who molests children.
Two.
You can be a born-again Christian and be someone who drinks to get drunk.
Three.
You can be a born-again Christian and watch pornography.
Four.
You can be a born-again Christian and be stealing from your job.
Five.
You can be a born-again Christian and renounce the faith and live and die as an atheist who blasphemes God and still inherit the kingdom of God. And on top of all of that, all these people still have the Holy Spirit living within them the entire time.
Okay. There are eight things that he says we as free gracers say that you can do. Let me tell you right now, that's not true. I'm going to tell you right now, as a free gracer, and I don't even like using titles, but based on his description here, that's what I would be. It is very clear. The Bible tells us we are to be separate. We are to be holy as he is holy. As a pastor who will, when this recording is over, I'm going to go work with people. I'm going to go prepare messages, all sorts of stuff. And I'm gonna actually go out into the real world and share the gospel with lost people. As a pastor who believes what the Bible says to be true, I would tell any Christian, do not sin. Go and sin no more. Sin brings bondage. Sin put Jesus on the cross. I will not deny the fact that the believer has the free will to do whatever he wants, which can be to sin, but it's a shame if he chooses to do that. Why is it that this whole smirky attitude of this lordship camp acts like they're above everybody else? Acts like he named those big eight big things, you know, being a child molester, or, you know, being homosexual, all sorts of stuff. But what about James 4:17? What about the fact that when you know what to do and you choose not to do it, that is sin? We're all about the sin of commission. Everyone's like, oh, I'm not going to do, I don't do those things. But what about when you don't do what you're supposed to do? That's not the only response that I'm going to make to that, but that's going to be for the next video. So I appreciate you checking this out. But let me say this before you go. All of this is in love. I know I speak strongly and sometimes people don't like that. And I have to say that's tough because my intentions are not that way. But if you're watching here today and you're trusting in some type of performance that you can do to prove to God that you've really believed, would you change your mind and put your trust solely in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? I do love and care for you. I don't even know who you are, but I know because God has value in your life. So I want to be humble and meek and offer this opportunity for you to get saved. If you're thinking, well, I'm saved because I do things, put your good works next to the blood of Christ, my friend. Isaiah says that all of our good works are filthy rags. It's a disgusting thing to say to God, my good works are enough and are worthy to be compared to the Son of God's shed blood. I implore you to change your mind. You got a question? We got answers. Send them to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. My name is Pastor Jesse Martinez, and we'll be back next week. Until then, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you, and God bless. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.